Chaz and AJ News.
I'm going to give you some details of a story, and you're immediately going to think the boyfriend did it. 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. A British woman who was last seen aboard her boyfriend's yacht in the U.S. Virgin Islands is still missing nearly 2 weeks later. And now cops say her boyfriend won't let them search the boat.
Oh, boy.
Ryan Bain, who owns the 47-foot luxury catamaran, had reported girlfriend Sarm Heslop, 41, missing on March 8th, but then immediately lawyered up. The boat has remained moored off the limits to cops off the coast of St. John. A massive search of the waters continues. Soon after her reporting, soon after he reported her missing, Mr. Bain hired an attorney. Quote, upon his attorney's advice, Mr. Bain exercised his constitutional right to remain silent and denied officers' requests to search the vessel. Authorities would need a search warrant to search the boat, but they can't get one now because her disappearance has not been ruled a criminal case. Quote, we thought we could just ask Mr. Bain to search the boat and he would say yes, but he didn't. That's from police. The couple went to dinner on shore and then returned to the yacht at 10 p.m. Sunday, March 7th. Ryan called police at 2:30 a.m. the next morning, saying he just woke up and realized Heslop was no longer on board, though her passport and purse and phone remained behind.
Very curious.
The cops told Ryan to call the U.S. Coast Guard immediately, but he waited until almost noon the next day to report her disappearance to the U.S. Coast Guard, San Juan Station.
Guilty.
Okay, so to me, guilty, right? Most of us, guilty. Let's bring on an attorney who's known for handling cases where there's a disappearing spouse, Norm Pattis. Hey.
Well, you know, there are suspicions, but among the questions I have is, was the yacht moored when she went missing? So they return, you say, from dinner, and at 2:30, he wakes up and she's gone. Now, if the yacht's moored, you know, who knows where she went? But let's talk about the optics of this and the lawyering. I think it's brilliant lawyering. When police are talking to you under suspicious circumstances, especially involving your spouse or a loved one, you're always a suspect. Forget what they're telling you. And then, you know, hey, mind if we look around for a while? Help us out here. Man, this is horrible. What they're looking for are pieces of circumstantial evidence to link you to the crime. So, you know, the guy's going to take a beating in terms of public opinion. So be it. Police need a warrant to enter his property. And in the absence of some suspicion, well, in the absence of evidence of a crime, that is, in the absence of probable cause to believe that the fruits or instrumentalities of a crime may be present at the scene, they can't get a warrant. So, you know, this is a guy who, if he was involved, he was involved. And, you know, that he's going to have to square up with the creator of the universe on Judgment Day for that. But in terms of the state's interest in him, it sounds to me like he's done a pretty good job of placing roadblocks in the state's way. And that's what his lawyer is supposed to do. So kudos to the lawyer.
All right. So she's either on the boat or in the water, right? I mean, there's no helicopter.
No, she's either on the boat or in the water or somewhere else. I mean, again, do
how
we know
how would she get somewhere else, though?
Well, that's my question. The boat, they go to dinner, they return. Presumably, they didn't jump onto the boat from shore. The boat was docked somewhere. So where was it docked? Did it leave the dock? Are there surveillance cameras on the dock that show what happened between 10 and 2:30? They had a little bit to drink. Did she get out that night, get off the boat, fall in the water? Did she meet someone else? Was she abducted? I mean, your listeners are saying, yeah, sure, right, he did it, but not so quick. Things happen.
So why'd he wait so long then to call it in originally?
Well, that and they could argue that that's consciousness of guilt. It could be fear. It could be confusion. And it very well could be guilt. But in order to prove him, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. No, I just think as a person, let's just play this out, right? I'm out with Jennifer. We're on a boat. Right, we go in.
Guilty.
I knew it. I knew it. We go out to dinner.
You only took her on the boat. Yeah, yeah, right.
Our boat is moored. We take a dinghy from the dock back to the boat. We get on the boat. We have a couple drinks. We go to sleep. I wake up, and now she's not there. The dinghy is still on the boat. Her passport, purse still there. I'm going to think she fell overboard. I'm calling the Coast Guard before I call anybody.
Immediately.
I immediately need help in finding her. What this guy did and how he did it says to me he's just stalling for time.
Well, so, but again, do you know that they took a dinghy from the dock to the boat? I don't know that. I read a couple stories about this last night. That's a detail I don't have.
47-foot luxury catamarans not coming up to the dock.
You're probably right. So she takes a dinghy to the boat. He wakes up. She's gone. Suppose the relationship was a tense one. Suppose they were in a rocky spot and he thought, you know what? I'm better off if she's gone. I was thinking about divorcing her anyhow. Maybe the gods took care of this one for me, or the sharks did it. I'll call it in, but I want to make sure I'm protected first. I'm going to get a lawyer. Or maybe they fought that night. Maybe they got back. They both got liquored up, and they threw some glasses and bottles at one another. And somebody, maybe she got cut with a shard of glass. He went to bed angry. She's walking on the dock. She stumbles in and says, "Ah, fuck him," and trips and falls in because she's had too much to drink.
I hit the dump button, but let's try not to say F again.
Whoopsies.
Whoops. Sorry about that, guys. I lost myself. But, you know, maybe that she said, "F that, I'm done with this." And, you know, who knows what happens? Look, nobody murder cases are particularly difficult because in order to prove murder, the state has to prove opportunity. That is that you were near the person. And typically they have to prove mechanism or means of death. Was it a blunt instrument? Did he cut her? Did he strangle her? Or did she fall over and drown? In the absence of a body, you can't prove a mechanism. And thus the absence of death. Death itself is entirely speculative. It used to be the case that under our Anglo-American law, without a body, you could not prove a murder case. And that led, and this rule arose when such things happened as this. A woman disappears. The circumstances are entirely inculpatory, guilt-inducing. A guy goes away. Maybe he's executed. And 20 years later, she turns up saying, "Oops, sorry." You can't exactly revive the executed person. But that rule was made it too convenient for maritime homicide.
Let's go back to something you said there that makes a little bit of sense. Is that maybe these two had an argument. He goes to bed, wakes up, she's gone. And maybe he knows she has a tendency to say or do things that are like to grab attention. Like, "I'm going to kill myself." And he thinks, "Oh, man, she jumped off the boat, but there are signs we had an argument," and then you freak out. So there is that. You're right. But typically, in these cases, when one disappears, the other one's guilty.
And
right?
When your first reaction...
Well, I mean, again, typically in these cases, what database are you relying on? How many cases are there where a woman disappears in the middle of the night after a few drinks on a catamaran in a dock? This is the first time I've talked about one. The nobody murder case is a difficult case. You can't prove the mechanism of death. And as I was talking about maritime cases moments ago, we now, you know, pirates, you know, if there was a mutiny on a ship and the captain was thrown overboard, you get back to land. Where's the captain? "Well, we don't know. We haven't seen him in a while, mate. I think there was a storm. He may have blown off. Maybe he swam." You know, sure, you guys probably killed him. But in the absence of a body, you couldn't bring a case. So there are special rules of evidence that govern the so-called corpus delicti rule. If there's no body, there are limitations on what can be put into evidence to guard against the danger that speculation will do the hard work of proof. And in the absence of mechanism of death, we don't know what happened. Now, I grant you're right. It looks suspicious. It looks bad. But you know what? If I'm the catamaran owner, I'd rather have you be talking smack about me than the jailer telling me when I could get my next meal. And if you're going to convict on mere suspicion, we're all guilty from time to time, aren't we?
Attorney Norm Pattis is on. We're talking about this woman who disappeared on a boat and the boyfriend's not cooperating. You talked about the no body situation in a murder case. I believe the first time anyone was convicted of a murder without a body was Richard Kraft in Connecticut, the wood chipper case, right?
Well, even there was just enough.
Fingernail, a tooth.
There was no body, but near a wood chipper, fragments of a fingernail. near a wood chipper, that creates an image that perhaps a body went through the wood chipper. So, you know, another no-body case where there was a conviction was an old case of mine, George Leniart. A young girl disappeared, April Leniart. Many years later, Mr. Leniart was convicted of abducting her and raping her and disposing of her body. And that body has never been found. You know, the case is on appeal. There are various issues. He may or may not get a new trial. You know, the no-body murder cases are difficult, and they create a problem because the truly sinister person makes the body disappear and ought not to benefit as a result of that. But yet, murder requires proof and not mere suspicion. It's the most serious crime we have on the books. It's a special challenge. So as a lawyering person, you know, as a bit of lawyering, the man, the boat owner's lawyer, is to be commended. He's taking the right steps to protect his client. The guy's taking a public relations hit, but, you know, that's what you hire PR people for. You hire lawyers to protect your body.
All right. And then, of course, you had the nation's most famous missing person / murder case in the last decade here in Connecticut, the Jennifer Dulos case.
Well, I still say there is no evidence of murder in that case, none that I was ever made aware of. Plenty of suspicion, much like this case. And unfortunately, Mr. Dulos committed suicide. We'll never be able to take that case to trial. And Jennifer remains missing.
Spring break in Miami. Have you seen any of this?
I have. Boy, I'll tell you, I wish I was there. I don't know that I'd be out and about with these kids. But, you know, there's something robust in, about the American spirit and its desire for liberty. And, you know, I watched last night. I watched after you mentioned it. I hadn't really paid much attention. I see the cops firing pepper balls, and I kept thinking of that, and I'm thinking the soundtrack, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. You know, girls just want to have fun. I know I shouldn't quit my day job as a lawyer for singing, but really, what's the harm there? People are flocking to spring break. You're going to shut everything down at 8 o'clock and close the highways
8 p.m.
to lock people in.
Yeah. Shutting Miami down at 8 p.m.
Miami never sleeps.
How long is this pandemic going to go on? I mean, obviously, these people are ignoring the public health safety requirements and all that other jazz. But, you know, we didn't sign up to live in a republic of virtue governed by public health officials who tell us to guard ourselves against every sneeze. After a year where we were supposed to flatten the curve, I think our spirits are flattened right now. It's spring. It's spring break in Florida. Let the kids play. Are a few people going to get sick? Yes. But we were never trying to eliminate it. The curve. We're just trying to flatten it. Let's move on. Yeah, there it is. I'm in Miami. Oh, yeah. I'm ready to go. I've been locked down for a year. I've been counting the birds out of my front window. I know their first names. Hi there, Sweetie Pie. Want to come down to Florida with me and have some fun? I'm ready to go. Pack my bags. Please stop the pandemic. And, you know, if we have another spike, we have another spike. Life goes on. We've had other pandemics. 6th century under Justinian. A lot of the Roman Empire, what remained of it, was wiped out. Much of Europe was wiped out during the Black Death and the Plague. We had the Spanish flu influenza. Oh, can't call it Spanish flu. That would be politically insensitive. We had some sort of flu in 1917. We had a pandemic during Woodstock, and people still got naked and listened to Jimi Hendrix do the national anthem. Give me some Jimmy, please. I've had enough of this pandemic. You know, I locked down so hard with my wife. This weekend, I went out for the first time to a store in a year. I went to take some dry cleaning up to the dry cleaners because I'm anticipating having to return to court soon. And I picked up some dry cleaning. I had tears in my eyes when I saw my dry cleaner. I am so starved for social stimulation. So I am rooting for the people of Miami, the Battle of Miami. Let's get it on.
All right. You know? I'm going to give you some details, and then we're going to see if you could defend this person. Okay. A dad brings his kid to the San Diego Zoo. And they're at the elephant
section. Are these humans? Yes, these humans?
They're humans. That is an excellent question.
That's a detail I didn't think we'd have to clarify.
No.
But it is a good one. Okay, so he's there at the elephant corral or whatever with his
enclosure
daughter, toddler, and he climbs into the elephant enclosure with his daughter to take a selfie. All right, and then the elephant charges them, and as he's running to get out of the way and to get out of the enclosure itself, he drops the daughter. He's able to pick her up and get her out. They aren't hurt. He's arrested, $100,000 bail. Your job is to, in 60 seconds, to convince me I should let this guy walk and be a dad?
Do I have to? Yes. Okay. You know, clearly the guy, he's taken his daughter out. She was critically ill, Judge, and she'd expressed nothing else but to get close to an elephant. They'd seen the nature show. She prevailed upon him. Daddy, please, please, can't we get closer to the elephant? He inspected the scene. He saw there what he thought there was a safe pathway. He saw the sign. His daughter implored him. He said, it's not a wise idea, dear, don't do this. But he took her because it was her deepest desire to be near the elephant. As the elephant charged, he ran. He dropped her. He didn't keep running. This is not a man who's totally self-regarding. He got her. He got her out safely. He learned an important lesson. And this child will forever have in her mind the importance of obeying social conventions and rules. And Judge, if you take the father away, who better to reinforce the lesson than he? I think he is her father. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Is there a parent in this room who hasn't from time to time done something and thinking, my word, what was I thinking? Now, most of us don't have the world watching. Most of us don't get up close and personal with Dumbo. This dad did. $100,000 bond is too much. It'll further traumatize the girl. She needs him right now. I think Dumbo should be prosecuted, and we should be asking, you know, Dumbo, you've been in that cage for how long? You've seen how many people? And this is how you greet the little kid? I mean, what up with Dumbo?
Oh, it's Dumbo's fault?
Nobody's talking about him.
You start right out of the gate and blame the kid. I love that.
Well, you can't. I mean, she's a child, and our job is to make civilized human beings out of these little savages.
I did it because she told me to. Oh, that's great.
Trying to make dreams come
true. It was an abundance of love, Judge. It wasn't evil. There are two types of people. There are people who crave evil and people who don't know how to draw boundaries when they're overcome with love. This father was overcome by the innocent eyes of her child, and he had no choice.
He's overcome with stupidity.
Hey, judges... shout out to AJ.
Yeah, yeah.
I hear AJ's in the hospital. Get better, buddy.
Yeah, I'm going to check
in.
Keep
your hands off the nurses. All right? Keep those eyes in your skull. No, it didn't fall at the side of the bed. She doesn't need to pick it up. Pick up your own bed and walk, pal. You know?
All right, Norm. Good to hear you. Nice job. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Be well. See you in Miami.
All right.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.